The men of the church gathered this morning, or some of them did, for the men's fellowship, a time where we discuss and visit and catch up on current events, but also plan events which we feel that are necessary to the life of the church, sometimes the thankless events, things that are easily unnoticed, the caregiving for our church community, fixing things that need to be fixing, visiting where people need to be visited, also caring for and providing a place for our young people to worship. We take an active role in the youth, the young people of our church, providing for, in many ways, much of their budgetary needs. One of the events that we'll participate in coming up is one of the fifth quarter parties, or events for our local high school here. Coach Willie is the FCA director, and he asked that we take a part in that and provide a venue and a little bit of snacks for them after one of our local high school football games. He said to us, he said, you don't have to really put much food out there, just maybe some desserts, some snacks, some sweets. Boy, that speaks my language. That's what I really like. The sweets, the snacks, the samplings, the little extra things that make it just a little more easier to digest. Don't we all like the sweets of life? They go down easy, but we know that we can't live merely on sweets alone. At some point, to provide us strong bodies and nutritional lifestyles, we need something of a little more substance, correct? We need some meat and potatoes. Is that right? We need those things that provide us not only enjoyment to our taste buds, but strength and energy and muscles, fuel for our brain and our bodies to function in the world. We need solid food. You know, that's important to our physical bodies, but it's also essential to our spiritual bodies. And so it is that we fall today our ears on the listening of the meat and potatoes of Holy Scripture. The solid food, as is described at some places, as some people describe the words of Hebrews. This is not milk. This is not the introductory meal to people of faith. This is the real meat and potatoes. This is the stuff that helps us grow in our faith. In the words of receiving the text, we're so happy to have little Bailey here today. And Bailey is already snoring, and I've just started preaching. And you know what I noticed? As soon as he came into this place, he was drinking milk. That's what we start our young ones on, right? As they're introduced to life, they can't digest the more substance, the heavier, the stronger things of food and nutrition. They need to begin as babies, as infants in their journey of life. And so our journey proceeds like that as people of faith. We start off with milk, with the introduction of Jesus as the Savior. And then the writer of Hebrews here gives us today. He says, it's time for real food. Do you want to discuss meatier and heavier and more substantive thoughts of the faith? And so he begins right out of the chute in the very first four verses of this passage, of this letter, by sharing with us some contrast. The writing is eloquent in the way the words are woven together. He offers us these contrasts by saying, first, that long ago, the prophets spoke to us, or rather spoke to our ancestors in many ways. He contrasts that by saying, now, today. There was a time long ago, but what I want to share with you is about the last days, the last time, the current events and the events to come, the last days. He says that the prophets spoke, But now, rather than the prophets, we have a new voice. It is the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. And not only that, but just as the prophets spoke long ago to our ancestors, now the message comes from Jesus Christ. Now the message is for today, and now the message is not for them, but the message, O church, is for us. The writer begins with all these contrasts to say, what I'm about to deliver to us through our Lord Jesus Christ, through the Son of God, is a message of faith for us modern day people on the journey. For those of us who walk in the way, as Scripture recalls it. That was one of the earliest translations of the Christian faith. It was called the way, in the way of Jesus. So Hebrews begins with these contrasts. And there's one other contrast that the writer kind of slips in here that you have to be mindful of and perhaps really be searching for. It's a hint. He doesn't lay it all out in the milk of the faith, but he weaves it in there in the meat and potatoes of the faith. He explains and he reminds us that the sacrifice that once set people of faith free from their sin was a temporary. It was an annual journey of purification. That's the word our text says today. An annual journey for purification from sin. That was what the people of faith sought in ancient times. But now that Christ Jesus has come, he purifies us for our sins, not annually, not one time, but once and for all. The priest, the true priest, the high priest of heaven, came down to be a sacrifice for our sins once and for all. And the writer, he never uses the language here of explaining directly that blood is essential for the remission of sins, for the purification for our brokenness. But that's a symbolic gesture that seems the writer is reminding to us when he said that Jesus becomes the purification, the sacrifice through his suffering, as he would say in chapter 2. He uses that word suffering twice there to remind us that sin, dear friends, has consequences. That sin leads to death and destruction. Sin is the things that God would have us not to do as people of faith. As his children, he reminds us in this text, the writer does, that we are children. We're not simply beings or creations of some distant God. No God above who looked upon Jesus as his child is also embraced by Jesus as brothers and sisters to all of us. He says in verse 12 that Jesus is not ashamed. Isn't that good to know as family of the Lord? That Jesus is not ashamed of us, even when we are the blackest of sheep in our journey. And sometimes we are. We all have our black sheep moment. Sometimes those moments last longer than they should, right? But we all have been at that place in our life, and to be quite honest, sometimes our family may not even be real proud of us, right? We can resonate to these words where Jesus, even at our worst, is not ashamed to call us brother. He's not ashamed to embrace us as sister. He says, you're mine. You're my family. I lived and gave my life so that you may live and have life more abundantly. You see, early on in my journey of faith, I used to really get hampered and hung up on understanding why it was that Jesus had to sacrifice his blood so that we may have life. Why did he have to endure death, but not only death, but also suffering? It seems the writer in Hebrews reminds us that at the very beginning of life, when Adam and Eve gathered in the garden, that after their first sin, church, let's consider this maybe for the first time, that after their first sin, when God came seeking them in the garden, he said, "Where are you?" That his response to their brokenness was that their sins required blood. Did you notice that? One of the first things he did, he made them garments to cover their nakedness, and the garments with which they were covered came from animals who had to suffer, who had to die because of the sinfulness of God's children. You see, it started in the very beginning. Sin, our brokenness, our selfish choices have consequences, yes, for us and for the world around us. That's the call to faith. That's why God is our loving parent. As our Heavenly Father says, church, turn from the ways of sin and live and know life more abundantly in me, because sin has consequences that lead to death and suffering. It was at the beginning. And it continued for the church. In the ancient church, the sacrifice for the people of Israel for their sins to be covered once again required blood. The sacrifice of animals. Animals that were important to the livelihood of the people of faith. It was a true sacrifice for them, oftentimes intimately attached to these precious animals without blemish. Those were the ones that had to be offered up for their sins. Sometimes the question comes to us, why? Why would God have such an appetite to need blood, to need consequences, to need death and suffering to conquer our sinfulness? It's the meat and potatoes of our faith, right? It's the deep theological questions that are sometimes hard for us to make sense out of. Couldn't God just snap his finger? Couldn't God just say, okay, you've blown it, but I forgive you? Couldn't God just say, well, let's give them a do-over? Couldn't God have just made it right without having to go through all those steps to conquer our sin? The answer, it seems, is no. Surely, the all-powerful maker of heaven and earth had it in his powers to simply overlook our sinfulness, right? It's in his power. He's God. He can do anything he wants, correct? But if God were simply to overlook our sinfulness and give us a do-over without any consequences, to just snap his finger and make it go away, you know what, friends? That wouldn't be anything more than magic. We don't have a God of magic. We have a God of miracles. A God who doesn't just overlook the consequences of sin. They are real. They are destructive. Sin leads to suffering. Sin leads to death. Those consequences had to be endured for someone on our behalf, and Jesus the Christ embraced it for all the world. You see, that is the meat and potatoes of our text today. That's the introduction that the writer to the book of Hebrews shares with us. That Jesus Christ willingly lived without sin, but yet embraced the consequences of sin for all creation. Wow, that's love. That's miracles. That, my friends, is grace. I still am grateful. On this day that we celebrate World Communion, this day that we remember once more that Jesus the Christ gave His body and blood so that we may have life forever, I remember and I appreciate, just with the symbolism of His giving life, that also we say something else on this day of World Communion. That we also say, as the church of Jesus Christ, regardless of denomination, as the church of Jesus Christ, regardless of location, as the church of Jesus Christ, regardless of mode of worship, our race and color of our skin, as the church of Jesus Christ, we on this day say that we are one. We're in it together. We're not in competition with one another. We're in the journey of faith because Jesus Christ is not ashamed of Presbyterians. Jesus Christ is not ashamed of our Baptist brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ is not ashamed of the Roman Catholics, of the Church of Christ, of the black and white, of the yellow and brown. Jesus Christ claims us all as brothers and sisters through the blood of His sacrifice. May we offer His claim to the world and love them as our own. Amen. At this time, we're going to share in the celebration of Holy Communion. Excuse me, we're going to have the offering first. As we share in the giving of our tithes and offering, I'm going to ask our ushers to collect those gifts at this time.